I want to begin with a question, and it hits a little closer than home than I'd like to admit, but it says, have you ever felt so broken that you wonder if you could ever be whole again? And you don't have to raise your hand, but I know for me, that was a lot of my story, right? This brokenness is somebody who experienced trauma as a young kid in the form of sexual abuse and kind of grew up in this brokenness in the home that I was in the neighborhood, right? And as I kind of got into my teens and started to create my own trauma and things and impact people's lives and the shame and the guilt. And just kind of as I stepped into my 20s, there was kind of this hopelessness almost, right? As I'm supposed to be beginning my adult life and looking forward to everything, this was the thing that I held on to, right? I will never be who I set out to be, right? The dreams of the 12-year-old boy, they were dead in my eyes, right? That there was no hope, that the future that I had envisioned for myself as a child and those things that I had hoped for, they were crushed. And all I had was scraps now, bits and pieces, but it was a lie, right? As I began to step into this, I seen this. And so I'm not talking about a bad day, right? A bad night or a bad week. This is the kind of brokenness that keeps us up at night. And your brokenness is not mine, right? You have your own story, things that you've experienced and from other people or maybe things you've put yourself through. But I'm talking about the kind of brokenness that keeps us up at night, the kind that weighs heavy on our soul, right? That makes us feel like no matter how hard we try, we can't shake the pain, that we can't shake the past, that maybe God's redemption, it's good for some, but it's not for us, right? It's just this thing that we'll always be 3, 4, 5, 6 steps back because of what we've went through or what we've done. And maybe it's not pain. Maybe it's the pain that nobody else sees that you've learned to smile through, right? Sometimes the most broken people are the ones that joke and smile the most, right? That seem the happiest and they have the darkest demons on the inside. Maybe that's you. You've learned to smile through it, to hide it. Maybe you hide behind busy schedules, maybe distractions, humor, but deep down, you know that there's an open wound that refuses to heal. It refuses to close. And you find yourself in this darkness day in and day out. And every morning, the greatest victory is the fact that you got out of bed. The fact that you made it to work. And if we're being real, maybe you've tried to fix it on your own. I know I spent 18 years trying to close the wound that I had on my own. And it led to substance abuse for me. It led to just anger and violence and brokenness and broken relationships because I tried so hard to accomplish what only God could accomplish. And maybe that's your story. Maybe that's your story. You've turned to self-help, motivational books, relationships, habits, anything that promised relief. You tried numbing the pain, again, through substances, isolation, endless scrolling, right? And endless scrolling, and endless shopping, and spending, and all of these things because you just wanted a sense of normalcy, a sense of control, a sense of power, a sense of accomplishment. But the wound was still there, still festering. If that's where you're at, I need you to know something tonight. You're not alone. I imagine in this room, every single person has felt a similar way as you have, or maybe you do, right? Because we live in such a broken world. And though our stories are different, and the level of pain we experience is different, and the abuse and all of that is different, when we look around this room, not one of us has walked through life unscathed by the brokenness of other people, the sinfulness of this world, the violence and the abuse and those things. We've all experienced it in our own way. And those experiences, they're valid. But we can't let him define us. So you're not alone. We live in a world that's quick to offer temporary relief. We have entire industries built on this. Billion-dollar industries offering the cure, right? Offering the next pill, the next strength, the next experience, the next relationship, because that's going to be the answer. That's what they tell us. And that's what we buy into. It's what I buy into or bought into for so long. And we live in this world. Again, there's always another strategy, always another quick fix, always another escape. But the hard truth is, none of those things can truly heal our broken soul, right? Our damaged psyche. And again, this hole, this God-sized hole and vacuum we have in our lives, none of those things will ever fulfill it. It will always leave us wanting more, always leave us wanting more. They might ease the pain for a moment, but they can't restore what's been shattered. They couldn't bring back the innocence that I lost as an 8-year-old boy. Couldn't bring back the innocence I'm sure that many of you lost in similar seasons of life. The broken damage of messed up marriages and relationships, abuse at the hands of people who should love us and care for us. None of those things that they offer us out there can make those things right. But God can. But God can. None of these things can truly heal us. They might ease the pain for a moment, but they can't restore what's been shattered. They can cover the wound, but they can't close it. But somebody can. Not someone who just offers relief for a moment, but someone who brings true, lasting healing. I remember hearing this type of messaging way back before I believed. And I know many of you know this, but I wasn't raised in the church and I wasn't raised in this environment. And, you know, just kind of, this may be you, I thought Christians were weird and all of this stuff was just kind of uneasy and unsettling for me at first. And then I began to hear this and I tried so many things and I was so sick and tired of being so sick and tired. And finally I got to this place where I'm like, all right, none of this is working. I mean, I'm gonna try something. And I began to latch onto this. And I just want you to know, it was the greatest decision I ever made. Right, I didn't lose myself. I found who God created me to be in it. And so again, there is somebody who offers true, lasting healing. Someone who can reach into the deepest, darkest places of your life and breathe new life into them. Tonight, we're gonna be talking about Jesus, the ultimate healer. It's the core of the messaging, right? The gospel, it's the truth. It's what we should hunger and thirst and crave for. Jesus, the Redeemer. Jesus, the ultimate healer. And I don't just mean healing for the body. Jesus is the healer of broken hearts, broken minds, broken spirits. This was big for me, broken identities. He doesn't just patch up the surface. He goes straight to the root of our pain and restores us from the inside out. That touch that he gives us here, it's so profound that many people don't even know and recognize it at its onset. And they may claim, you didn't experience God. You haven't changed. But I remember that moment for me that it was a truth so profound and so deep inside that even though I hadn't even had time to see if it had taken place, I knew it to be true, right? And it was this inward change. And over time, you could see it on the outside. But God gets at the root of these things and he begins to heal them from the inside out. Psalms 34:18, our key passage, says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. That's who Jesus is. He came for the broken. He came for the weary, the wounded, the ones who feel beyond repair. He didn't come just to fix you up, right? To slap a Band-Aid on it. He came to restore you. And I know, because I've been you, when you want to say that can't be, you don't understand how long this has been here, how long I've been dealing with this, you don't understand the weight of it. I'm just telling you that he came to restore you and your season, your situation, to go beyond anything that you can imagine. He came to restore you. He came to bring freedom where there's bondage, peace where there's chaos, and hope where there's despair. And the best part, he's here tonight. He's willing and he's able. And I remember sitting in a chair like that in a sketchier part of the church, listening to some guy spout this same type of nonsense, a little bit bigger than me, equally as bald. At the time he did, it was around the back. So I just had more self-respect than to leave it, so. But he is, he's here tonight. He's present, not Rick, Jesus. Yeah. You guys gotta notice, I have no self-control. We were having this great moment, this great buildup, and you ruined it, you ruined it. I can't be expected to control myself. You guys are supposed to help keep me in line here. That's how this relationship works. You know, you leave me to my own devices. This is what happens. Let's reset. But here's the thing. Jesus can only heal what we're willing to bring him. Jesus can only heal what we're willing to bring him. And for so long, I showed up and I'm like, this is nonsense. This guy's a liar. And for 5-6 years, that was my mindset. 5-6 years of coming here, struggling, on repeat. And I kept saying, God, take it from me. I wouldn't let go of it. And it wasn't until I brought it to him and I released it and I surrendered to him that things began to change. Because again, he can only heal what we're willing to bring him. And healing starts with surrender. It starts with saying, Jesus, I can't fix this on my own. I need you. So here's my challenge to you tonight. Are you willing to bring your brokenness to Jesus? No filters, no masks, just honesty. In this message, right, you don't have to share anything with me or anyone around you, but just that eternal vulnerability, right? That openness, as you think about what God's wanting to do, that you're totally and completely raw and real and honest with him. He knows anyways. He's just waiting on you to acknowledge it and to bring it to him and surrender. Are you ready to receive his healing? Even if it means letting go of some things that have been holding you back. And God's got something great for each of us. God's got something great for you. And are you ready to receive it from him? And once you do, will you share that hope with somebody else, somebody who needs it? It's so important that God, there's a verse, and I can't remember where it's at exactly, but it says that basically that God's love comes like full circle to completion in us. And it's kind of this thing that God pours it out on us, but the fulfillment of it is when we take what he's given and we give it to somebody else, right? And so there's this next step, and oftentimes we try to just hold on to it, and we weren't meant to be just this vessel, right? That we're supposed to be pouring out as well, not just holding on to. We're not a reservoir, but this river of God's goodness and grace and his mercy and his love. And so once you begin to receive it, you've got to share it with others. And I'm telling you, there's a whole other level of healing when we begin to talk about what God's freed us from and how he's been working in our lives. You don't have to leave here the same way you came. I remember Rick used to say that in my brokenness, in my immaturity, and he would say, you know, God loves you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there, right? Too much to leave you there. And I never quite understood it, and it took some time, but I want you to know the same thing, that no matter how far you are from him, God loves you right now in your sin, in your brokenness, your shame, and your guilt, that God loves you. Scripture tells us while we were sinners, Christ Jesus came and he died for us, right? He loves you now, but he loves you so much that he wants to take you, right? This version of you, and he wants to do a work in you. And he wants to deal with these things. Again, not because he doesn't love you, but because he loves you. And so he loves you far too much to leave you where you're at. And so you don't have to carry the brokenness one more day. There is such a freedom. I think it's in Matthew where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and it's easy to bear. And there's so much truth to that. When we try to be our own God and we try to deal with these things, the weight of it is immeasurable. The burden is so heavy. But when we give it to Jesus and we take his yoke upon us, there is such a lightness to it as he shares this with us. As he carries these burdens, takes our shame and our guilt, and brings freedom in our lives. And so, you guys ready to dive in? That's my opening. You're like, oh, really? Man, yeah, that was it. But this is something I There's things that I feel like certain people in pastoral ministry, like pulpit ministry, are called to. And freedom in Christ is something that burns in my heart so much. That's the message that I could never preach enough. And so I'm excited to get into this. And so if you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4. If you have your YouVersion Bible app, the notes are in there. You can go to the events tab. I want to remind you guys too, we've got weekly devotionals for all of these messages. That's the place to find them, right? You go to the YouVersion Bible app. And then I print out a few hard copies. They're around here as well. But Luke chapter 4, so the Gospel of Luke, it was written by Luke, a physician, a historian, and a companion of the Apostle Paul. And these verses, what we're getting ready to read here in Luke, and we're going to start in 4:14, they mark the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And so Jesus had, he'd encountered John at the river, right? He'd been baptized. God says, "This is my son, whom I'm pleased." Holy Spirit descends. Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days, 40 nights. And he kind of steps out and now he's beginning, right? The nitty gritty grind of his public ministry in a new way. And so we're going to pick up there in verse 14. And it says, "Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath." I don't want to say as usual. I wouldn't be doing my work as a preacher and a pastor without saying this. As usual, Jesus went to church on a regular basis. Not every other week or month, you know, or just on holidays. But as usual, he went to synagogue. And so if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. You can show here up here more than twice a week or month. And so, as usual, to the synagogue on Sabbath, and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. So this is not Jesus' words directly. This is Isaiah's words, right? A prophet that came, I believe, around 700 years before Jesus. And this is telling of the Messiah, right? And it says, this is what Jesus was reading. This is what was written. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And it's kind of like one of those moments, like mic drop, boom, in Jesus' mind, because this is profound. Jesus is reading from Isaiah, but Isaiah was speaking about Jesus, right? 700 years in the future, and he's saying, this is what's coming on scene. This man will proclaim that captives will be free, right? That blind will see. And it's such this magnificent moment, because Jesus didn't come for those who had it all together. And that's what he was letting us know, right? That I haven't come for religious teachers. I haven't come for those who have everything together, that are living these perfect lives. No, I've came for those who are in need, right? He came for the broken, the hurting, the desperate. He came for you. He came for me. And this is the moment that changed the course of history, where we have God in body, right? God in human form, who stepped on scene and said, "No, no, 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 no. I get the world's rejected you. I get they've dismissed you. I get you feel abandoned, you feel alone, but me, God, has come for you. The hurting, the broken, the lost, the desperate, he came to bring healing. Where there was pain, restoration, where there was ruin, and hope, where there was despair." Hope where there's despair. And point number one is this: Jesus came to heal the broken. So don't think for a moment that Jesus didn't come for you. Don't think for a moment that you have to have your life perfectly in order before you step through those doors, because that's a lie. Jesus came to meet you right where you're at, in the middle of the mess, right? You're going through a divorce. Jesus came for you right there. He's never wanted you more than he wants you in that moment, right? You're dealing with stuff with your kids. Jesus is for you. You're trapped in addiction, porn, substance abuse. Doesn't matter what it is. Jesus is in that moment, and he came to heal the brokenness that keeps us trapped, that keeps us in these cycles. He came for your hurting, your pain, your brokenness, this loss in our lives. Jesus came to heal the broken. And he wasn't just reading ancient words. He was proclaiming the kingdom of God had arrived. And he was the one to bring it. He was the one to flip culture upside down, to bring about real lasting change, to say, "I get you've tried to do it on your own. No more. I'm bringing something different. No longer will you be fighting with your hands behind your back, because the power of God has arrived, right? To indwell us and empower us and to help us through these things. And he came to heal the broken and the lost. When Jesus stood in the synagogue to read Isaiah 61, he was making a bold declaration. He is the fulfillment of God's promise to heal and restore. And we go through life. I went through so much of my life not understanding this. Just thinking that this is fable or fairy tale or for somebody else. And that was the enemy trying to keep me from this truth, that it was for me. That God came for me. That on that cross, he knew me. On that cross, that he took on my sin and my brokenness. And surrendering to that, 18 years of addiction was gone in a moment. Was gone in a moment. That in 8.5 years since, it hadn't been something I've run back to. As long as I stay firmly planted in this truth of what God's done and what he does, he's the fulfillment of God's promise to heal and restore. He wasn't just another teacher. He was the Messiah bringing freedom, healing, and restoration to a broken world. In Jesus' day, it might have been the poor, right? The infirm, right? The sick and the ill. And they thought that people who had these kind of things, that somehow it was the sin on them, their sins of their parents. And that's the reason they were like this. And they would have been sitting there, right? Because they were rejected by culture. They were unclean. They couldn't go into the synagogue. They couldn't participate in the community, right? And they were on the outside. But today, it's those of us who maybe weren't born in the right neighborhood, right? Who struggled financially growing up, or maybe even now, or have these substance abuse, these addictions, and he's speaking to us, right? That Jesus proclaimed that we would be free. Not just free to be a part of the kingdom, but that he would offer freedom from the enslavement of the sin, right? These things that hold us back, that entrap us and ensnare us. Jesus turned everything upside down. And he healed the physically sick, and he does that today. He sets people free from bondage, and he does that today. And you can't convince me otherwise, because I'm a recipient, right? And he does miracles today. And again, you can't tell me otherwise, because I've personally experienced how he moves in my life. And Jesus came to heal the broken. And wherever you're at, don't let doubt, don't let somebody else's naysaying get in between you and what God wants to do in your life. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to be stuck there anymore. Jesus, he came to heal the broken. I love in Mark 2:17 and in Mark chapter 2, it's Jesus calling Levi, who's Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, and he's a tax collector, rejected by society because of his choice to align himself with Roman authorities. And as Jesus calls him, right, Matthew invites him back to his place, and he's eating with these disreputable sinners, and the teachers of religious law are scoffing at Jesus. And I love Jesus' reply in Mark 2:17. He said, when Jesus heard them, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come. He's revealing who has he come for. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know. Say that, know. Know they're sinners. That thing the enemy wants to use against you, that knowledge that you've screwed up, that's affirmation that Jesus is for you. And the enemy tries to turn it against you. It's affirmation that he came for you to set you free, to heal you. So whatever your life feels broken, oppressed, weighed down, and how can you invite Jesus into it today? How can you surrender it? Because I'm telling you, he's at the door. This is your moment. Don't miss it. Don't be out there another week, another month, another year. Open it up. Allow him to come in. Shake things up a bit. Turn your world upside down. Jesus came to heal the broken. You're in Luke. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And so this passage takes place during a tense, critical moment in Jesus' ministry. He's speaking in Jerusalem during the Feast of the Tabernacle. That takes place in John 7, 2. And Jesus is teaching publicly in the temple, and his words are stirring belief and opposition, which they often did, right? And they still do, right? When we hear the gospel preached, there's people on both sides, belief, and then there's those who are opposed. And so that's taking place in real time here. And this is John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 31. And if I ever had like a life passage, and I don't have one necessarily reconciled for sure, but this is one of them. And I've talked about this before. When you look at what we do with Live Free and how I approach that ministry and how I approach this ministry, this is it. This is it. And so John chapter 8, verse 31, where we're starting, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I like that. Just that passage is very revealing. If we want to be Jesus' disciples, we can't be cherry picking stuff and conforming the word of God to our lives. We conform our lives to it, right? That it's truth, that we submit to him. Romans 8:28 tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and Lord's important, right? He's the authority, and then we'll be saved. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, remain faithful to my teaching, right? And it's not that the faithfulness saves us, it's Jesus saves us. But he goes on, he says, "We are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" And so these teachers, the Hebrews here, they didn't understand. Like, what are you talking about? We have freedom. And Jesus is getting ready to drop this truth bomb that no, you don't. And he replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever." And so when we look at the world today, there's this brokenness. And everyone is guilty, right? Scripture tells us, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, right? There's not a righteous one among us outside of the work of God. And Jesus is saying, listen, and if you've sinned, you're enslaved to it. But there's good news. There's more, right? The just seen on TV. But wait, there's more. That's what Jesus is getting ready to get into here. And he says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. I love that, because it's not if the self-help book sets you free, you're truly free. There's not a pill or a medication that your doctor's gonna prescribe that's gonna fix everything, right? And I get there's medical conditions, but there's a freedom found in Jesus that's only found in Jesus, right? Healing isn't just about feeling better for a moment, right? That's not healing. It's restoration. Healing is this wholeness. And Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, if the Son makes you whole, you're truly whole. You're complete. And so healing isn't just about feeling better for a moment. It's about stepping into lasting freedom. Jesus doesn't just patch up brokenness, right? You're not sitting there with your gunshot wound and he's like, "Hey, I brought some gauze." No, he gets at the root of it, right? He patches this up. He deals with it. He does a great work in us. He breaks the chains that keep us bound. When he heals, he sets us free from sin, shame, guilt, anything that holds us captive. And I had all of those walking into my relationship with him. There wasn't one of those things I wasn't dealing with. I had a whole U-Haul worth of baggage that kept me from experiencing him. And our second point is this, that Jesus is healing. It brings true freedom. There's not a thing out there aside from him that will bring true freedom. Freedom from these things. Again, from the brokenness of the baggage that you're struggling with. Jesus is the one that will break those chains. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. You don't have to be stuck, because if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. If the Son sets you free, you're truly free. And Jesus, his healing brings true freedom. Freedom is found in Jesus alone. It's not about keeping rules. It's not about being born into the right family. It's about surrendering to the one who sets the captives free. The one who read from the scroll, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring the news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has arrived, right? That's the guy who brings true freedom. Today, again, we seek it in all the wrong places. We rack up debt upon debt upon debt, trying to find it. We medicate and over-medicate, trying to find it. We submit ourselves to all sorts of deplorable things. Filthy content on TV, Netflix, Hulu, all of it, right? Give me more, more, more. What are we looking for? Freedom. And the only thing we find there is bondage, slavery. We're ensnared and entrapped. We shop, we buy, we spend, rinse, cycle, repeat. Over and over and over. And it's only in Jesus that we find freedom. Addiction, anxiety, shame, guilt, they keep us bound. Jesus doesn't just modify behavior. I love this, right? Because I went through different things trying to deal with what was wrong with me. And it was all about learning coping mechanisms, right? And how to manage the chaos. And those things can be helpful, but that's not lasting change, right? And so Jesus doesn't just modify. He liberates. That's freedom, right? He doesn't just modify behavior. He liberates us from the sin that holds us, that endeavors to destroy our identity. And that's so much different, because if we're just looking at behavior modification, there's going to be a point in time, this is what happens. I've seen it, I've walked through it. You do good for a little while, but you lose somebody you love. You lose your job. Somebody gets sick. There's a bill you can't pay. And all the behavior modification practices in the world will not prepare you for that. Eventually you break. But if the Son sets you free, you can walk through these things with a sense of joy, a sense of purpose, a sense of self-control that you never knew was possible. Because if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. And Jesus, his healing brings true freedom. So are you ready? And I asked you earlier, is there something in your life you're holding on to? And I'm asking, are you ready to surrender these areas to Christ for total transformation? Because that's gonna be the culmination of where we're going here. Are you ready to let him in, to trust him, to get rid of the doubt and fully surrender? And so Jesus' healing brings true freedom. You're in John. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the letter from Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the church in Corinth, and it opens up identifying that. This is a letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to God's church in Corinth and to all his holy people throughout Greece. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles. He comforts us in all of our troubles. And sometimes we just stop there and we're like, oh, thank goodness for Jesus, my safety blanket. You know, he loves me so well and he keeps me warm and snuggly. But there's a so, say so. So we can comfort others. I love how people will make the statement, my faith is personal, it's me, it's private. That's bull crap. It's not biblical. That Jesus has done a work in you, not so you can keep the light, so you can be the light. Not so you can just be saved, but so you can save others. Not just so you can be forgiven, but so you can forgive others. Not so you can be comforted, but so you can comfort others. And he says, man, God comforts those of us who are in trouble so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. It's not so you can sit there and receive week after week after week after week and year after year and so on and so forth, right? No, it's so we can be the church. So we can be activated, and so we can go out, and so we can reach those around us, right? And Jesus doesn't just heal for our sakes. He heals so we can be a source of hope and healing for others. Your story, your breakthrough, your recovery, they have the power to point somebody else to Jesus. And we hold on to these things. No, that shame and that guilt that he dealt with it not just for you, but so that you could proudly proclaim what God's done in your life so you could be bold about it and say, I couldn't do it, but he could and he can and he does. And let me tell you how he's going to do it for you. He breaks these things so we can help others, right? Jesus is, his healing is meant to be shared because healed people become instruments of healing in God's hands. And point number three is this, healed people help heal others. Healed people help heal others. Jesus didn't heal us for our sake. He commissioned us to share our testimony. I love what we're doing with Live Free. And the reason I love it is because, you know, I had the honor of starting it, you know, and since that moment, since day one, I've endeavored to get out of the way because there are men coming up in that ministry that they've experienced the love of God and God has set them on fire to reach other men. And it is the most amazing thing. It's the most biblical thing that I see. And I see man after man stepping up in that ministry. And the ceiling for it does not exist, right? Because we were gonna activate so many guys to get out there and be the church and reach other guys in addiction, right? And to do all the things that I could never do, especially if I stood in the way, right? And so we have this healed people helping heal others. And that's the whole model, right? And as we just feed from the bottom up, this whole thing grows. And that's what we should be seeing here. Because you guys come in and you're encountered that we begin serving, right? Somebody greeted you at the door and it made an impact to your life. Man, be a door greeter. Get your butt out there, right? And start serving the church. If somebody served you on a Monday night at dinner and that was the thing that brought you in, you get over there with Donica and you serve. It was a cup of coffee you needed one night. You get here early. You make coffee because heal people. And sometimes we do that through serving, right? Through getting out, getting involved, and getting engaged, right? And that's what God's called us to do. Share our stories, right? Share our testimonies. Get out there. Be the church. Don't just sit there and receive forever, right? We've got to get out to get our hands dirty. Healed people help heal others. He didn't just heal us for our sakes. He commissioned us to serve, to share our testimony. And today, many people isolate themselves in pain, their shame, but healing is meant to be shared. Our struggle becomes our ministry. For so long, I was terrified, right, to just get out there, all the things that God had done. And I'm telling you, over time, it just gets easy. And now people are like, dude, you overshare, you know, but that's okay, because God's good. He'll help you with that too. But that's what we do. And there were so many lies. I remember one of the first times I shared my story, and it was about sexual abuse. And I worked with kids over here. And the enemy told me that when my story comes out, that, and I've shared this before, that the people would want me to not be over there anymore. And I experienced the exact opposite. I had people say, I've always enjoyed you over here with the kids, but I'm even more grateful you're here now because I know you have a heart to protect them, right? And so whatever the enemy's using against you, he's saying that thing, nobody should know what we're dealing with here. No, make it public. You're not alone. We covered that in the beginning. And as you share that, man, God's gonna use it not to shame you or guilt you. He set you free from that. He's gonna use it to inspire others around you to receive the same thing. healed people heal other people. Tonight, man, we've talked about Jesus as the ultimate healer, the one who doesn't fix what's broken but makes all things new. And some of you have been carrying wounds for a long time, Wounds from addiction, from rejection, choices, regret. And maybe you've tried to push through, numb them, act like it doesn't hurt anymore. But Jesus isn't just asking you to push through. Tonight he's asking you to surrender, right? Tonight he's asking you to let go of it, to let go and let him take over, take control and carry the burden. He doesn't want to just heal the symptoms. He wants to get at the root of all of it. And he wants to bring lasting freedom. And so are you ready? You ready for that kind of freedom? Because healing starts when we stop running, stop numbing, and start trusting. And so I want you to do this. I want you to bow your head, and I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to spend a moment with God. And here's the call tonight. In that moment where you're at, surrender your brokenness to Jesus. Be honest. Be raw. Be real. He knows anyways. He's just waiting on you to get it all out there. Be honest about what you need. And and where you need healing. You don't have to hold it all together. He already knows. The other call is walk in freedom, not just relief. Don't settle for temporary fixes when Jesus is offering you complete restoration. And then lastly, when you receive from him, commit to share your story. Commit to share your story. Somebody needs to hear how Jesus is healing you. Your testimony could be the key to somebody else's breakthrough. And so, right where you're at, I want to invite you into a moment with God, a moment of surrender. Allow him to begin to deal with these broken areas of your life, to begin to free you from them. Just spend a moment with God.